Today on Wings, stopping sexual harassment in music venues.
Thanks for keeping your mouth shut.
Thanks for telling the bartender.
When you do nothing, you're helping him. But when you do something, you help her. Stop sexual harassment and violence when you see it.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The anti-violence promo you heard at the beginning of this show is from a new campaign created by the province of Ontario, Canada, under the leadership of Premier Kathleen Wynne. We'll hear more about that near the end of today's program, but first let's hear from our sister program in Australia, Women on the Line.
Amy Middleton here, and just a trigger warning for this episode of Women on the Line, as we'll be dealing with stories around sexual harassment and assault. Over the past 12 months, a spate of high-profile sexual assaults in Australia have led to public outcry, particularly regarding a woman's right to exist in public spaces, including parks and streets, without the fear of being attacked. All too often, the takeaway advice following attacks on women such as 17-year-old Marja Vukotic, who was killed in a suburban park in Melbourne last month, ends up being a stern reminder to women that we aren't safe in places alone and after dark. But at what point do we look at the culture that teaches perpetrators this sense of entitlement that can lead to horrific incidents? Today we're talking about another space in which women's safety and comfort is at times threatened, and that's the music scene. Live music gigs, festivals and nightclubs are a huge part of Australian culture, and yet stories regularly emerge detailing harassment and intimidation. A recent report of a man ejaculating on a woman's back during a show at St Kilda Festival is another example. Izzy Combs, a 21-year-old music journalist, has had enough. She's credited with launching a campaign that runs off the hashtag #FreeToMove and speaks out against sexual harassment and intimidation in clubs, mosh pits and music venues. Izzy has worked in nightclubs in Sydney since she was 18, so she's no stranger to the negative aspects of the music scene. She wrote an article for music publication Stony Road, which details her own experiences with harassment and calls for Australia to step up, firstly by talking about this issue and then by finding a way to address it. I spoke with Sydney-based Izzy Combs about the campaign and her involvement and where the responsibility lies for this culture of intimidation. Thanks for being on Women on the Line, Izzy.
No problem.
To start off with, I thought maybe you could give us a bit of background on hashtag #FreeToMove. Tell us what the message is behind it and how it came about.
#FreeToMove was born out of a sudden burst of confidence that I got last week when I read a global article on Mixmag, which is a UK music outlet, about sexual harassment. I thought it was kind of brave for them to write something about sexual harassment and assault culture in the music scene, especially because I think a lot of the music blogs are unfortunately kind of geared towards males, maybe unfortunately, fortunately, geared towards males. So my editor at Stony Road sent it to me and I thought that it would be a really good idea to take it on and write something about it in Australian context. I've worked in nightclubs for couple of years now and I've seen and experienced my share of bullshit and I just thought it was time to talk about it and kind of open up the conversation, although I did not expect it to get the response that it got. I thought that it would get 100 likes.
Because it pretty much went viral, didn't it?
Yeah, which is a weird sentence.
Yeah, it is.
It was kind of bizarre because he posted it on the Stony Road's Facebook page at 2 o'clock last Thursday and it got like 1,000 likes by the time I'd gotten home from the pub that night, just from people reading and sharing, and then it just started to kick off. Then I got a message from Twitter from a journalist from news.com.au and he said that he wanted to interview me. And at first I thought that it was just a student journalist. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't realize that he was, from News Corp. So I had the phone interview with him the next day. And then he put it on the front page of news.com.au, which was absolutely huge.
Yeah, that's great exposure. And what do you think's the reason that it resonates with so many people?
I think everybody's had an experience.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing about it. Everybody has either seen or experienced some kind of harassment or assault. I know that journalist in particular had been chatting with his girlfriend who'd been very affected, I think, also very passionate about it.
And what have your experiences been, if they're not too traumatic to go into?
Yeah, of course. I mean, luckily, I think enough time has passed and I've been able to gain perspective from my bad experiences now. But I have had a few. I think being a woman who often is in the nightclub culture and, like, very, very big in the music scene, I've definitely run into my unfortunate cases. The one that I mentioned in the article is about 2 weeks after I turned 18, I started working in King's Cross. I was a cocktail waitress in a nightclub. And, I was walking on the floor and it was a busy Friday night and some guy just grabbed me and felt entitled enough to just put his hand into my work trousers. It was horrible. It was really, really scary. And at the time, I didn't feel like I had the power to say or do anything. And I know that people around the club must have seen as well, which also makes me really upset. Like, there would have been witnesses to this event. I soon found out it had happened to quite a lot of girls that I worked with at the club, and they'd also seen it happening to patrons. And I later found out as well that we had a zero tolerance policy at the club. I probably could have told someone and there would have been ramifications for the guy who did it, but obviously just so petrified at the time, especially because he threatened me, that I just felt completely powerless. And I think we see that all too often, and that's why people don't report their unfortunate events, because they feel powerless to it. And that's a mix of horrible people doing the crime and also just the culture, I think.
You mentioned entitlement during that anecdote, and thanks for sharing that with us. Where do you think the responsibility lies with attacks like this? Because all too often we're told by the media and the authorities that it's a woman's fault for putting herself in a vulnerable position. Do you think it's a more broad sort of societal issue?
Oh, of course. I mean, to begin with, it's always the responsibility of the perpetrator. Like, it's always the perpetrator's fault and it's never the victim. Kind of goes without saying.
Yeah.
I think that fear that it will be blamed on them, and especially I think I've been kind of waiting for people to start attacking my character, you know, to say, well, why were you working in King's Cross when you were 18? Why were you out at these festivals wearing short shorts?
Right.
With so kind of involved in that victim-blaming culture.
Yeah.
And I think that people are starting to see through it now. I think we're having enough media and enough chat going around that people are like, yeah, it really doesn't matter. You know, you could be assaulted, or harassed in any space.
Yeah.
Wearing whatever. It no longer matters. I mean, it's never mattered, but we're no longer kind of shifting the blame that way.
And also, it's completely your prerogative to work in a nightclub at 18 years old. I mean, it's probably a good time to ask what attracted you to the nightclub scene and what music venues mean to you personally.
Mm-hmm. So what attracted me to the nightclub scene? I was actually working in retail. I moved out of home quite young because my parents decided to kind of retire early and move to the mountains, and I knew I wasn't going with them. So from about 17, I was working in retail and I absolutely hated it. And I knew that I wanted to work somewhere fun. I wanted to be a bartender. I thought it was really cool. that was my main reason, just I thought it was super cool, and I wanted kudos with my friends.
Well, and the music scene's a huge part of Australian culture for all sorts of youth,
yeah,
and well
definitely.
Into adulthood as well.
And people, yeah, I think people are getting involved quite young. Some of the best producers on the scene right now are 18, 19, 20. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, but in Australia, I think we got so much youth in the music scene, which invigorates it. And yeah, I'm really passionate about it. And it's just really distressing when you have to, you know, talk about these young people hurting young people and older people taking advantage and people being hurt. And it's just like, it's so wonderful and diverse and enriching, apart from in this element of harassment that we unfortunately really have going.
Yeah. In your article, you quoted some pretty horrible statistics about sexual assault in Australia. How bad is the reality, and how much does it cluster around events like the music scene?
I think it's hard to know. I unfortunately, even though I really looked, couldn't find any crime statistics about harassment in the music scene and in the clubbing culture. And trust me, I had a really good dig, and I could find a whole bunch of drug statistics,
yeah,
and drugs that we're taking and drug crime rates. And I could find a whole lot of physical abuse, like boys getting in fights in those kind of rape scenes. Sorry, it's not just boys. but I couldn't find any particular statistics on harassment in the scene,
right,
which just made me think that this is something that no one's even thinking about. But I definitely thought it was important to involve the statistics from the wider society, just because it's going to be indicative of the problem. And I think people don't understand how big the issue is, not just obviously the 1 in 5 women are harassed or assaulted in their lifetime, which is pretty disgraceful, but the very low number of people who are reporting these harassments or assaults. And I think that that's even more likely to happen with young people. We're even less likely to report. You know, we're just told to be cool and chill out and not ruin everyone's night. Also, the group who has the highest number of assaults perpetrated against them are women under 20.
Right.
I pretty much fall into that bracket, and definitely did when I was assaulted. And that just made me really upset, because I do think that we really forget about young women, especially when we blame them so often for putting themselves in these circumstances.
If you've just joined us, I'm interviewing Izzy Combs, a 21-year-old music journalist based in Sydney, who's recently written an article for Stony Road about her experiences with harassment and sexual assault in the music scene. She's kicking off a campaign called Free to Move, which calls for Australians to step up and pay attention to this issue, which is a really widespread one. Izzy, how would you describe the impact sexual harassment or assault can have on a young woman?
I felt awful, and I had to serve the guy for the rest of the night, which was pretty distressing for me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I think it has a terrible effect on young women, and I know that a lot of people have contacted me since the article has gone out saying, I just don't go out anymore.
Really?
Like, I just don't participate. And that's extremely upsetting to read. But I know that it's gone through my head too. Sometimes it definitely seems easier to not participate if you know what's going to happen. If you go to a club or a festival, a lot of the time you will be vulnerable to harassment, you know, whether that be like groping or yelling or anything. It's expected, and that's really distressing. So, yeah, I think it has innumerable consequences for young women, whether it be not participating, whether it be just generally being afraid.
Well, and also trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how this issue plays out overseas, like in the UK?
There are a couple of campaigns in the UK. There is a campaign called Good Night Out, which is implemented in a lot of the spaces similar to the ones that I enjoy over here in Australia, like the kind of techno, grungy, like quote-unquote underground spaces, as well as more commercial clubs, which I think is really important.
Yeah.
And they basically set up a package and send it out to all the nightclubs that they're involved with, and it teaches staff and security how to deal with harassment in venue.
Education for nightclub security and staff, is that one of the initiatives you'd like to see rolled out? What's the answer here?
I think it's really hard to know what the answer is, but I definitely do think that conversation is the first step. People chatting and asking other people in their life, whether it be girlfriends or just female friends or anyone who might be vulnerable per se, and what their experiences are, or even just reading the article and kind of realizing that this is unfortunately a universal experience. I think that that discussion is really important. But the next thing we're doing, and what I'm hoping to have go live today or this week, is a discussion with nightclubs about what their measures are exactly in venue to target harassment perpetrators. So, yeah, I must have emailed about 30 or 40 clubs all over Australia and made a whole bunch of phone calls, also talking to party organisers, and at some point we'll be talking to festivals, but for now I'm just focusing on bars and clubs to make it public if they do respond and say something really positive, which I have received some amazingly positive responses thus far. So to kind of publicise that and let people know that when they are in that venue, they can report it to staff. It is a zero tolerance venue. Antisocial behaviour or harassment behaviour will not be accepted in any form at that venue. And second, even if the bar or club that I contacted didn't have something in place, ideally a bit of media interest would get them discussing that in their bar and maybe going to their staff members and saying, do you guys know what to do?
Yeah.
And kind of getting a bit of responsibility on them, not saying it's all their responsibility, but opening up the conversation within their space and recognising that they have power as venues to stop harassment. And I think something that's been positive that has really come out of this that quite a few venues have said is, we understand that if people don't have fun in our venue or if they don't feel safe in our venue, they're simply not going to come back. Yeah.
So it is in their commercial interests to pay attention to this issue.
For sure.
And you talked about a responsibility. Do you see that it's a shared responsibility that we all have to address this issue and make sure something's done about it?
100%. It's a shared responsibility. I wanted to make it clear in my article that I wasn't just appealing to men.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to just say, hey guys, you know, defend your girls. It's definitely not about that. We all have the power to do something if we see something going down, whether that be venues, whether that be a group of girlfriends, you know, just anyone for anyone. I know that if a perpetrator was faced up against me and a big group of my girlfriends, man, he'd be in trouble. So I think, yeah, we all have the power to do something, and you don't have to have a male jump in or defend you. You don't have to have a security guard jump in. You can help on behalf of another woman, on behalf of another man. Yeah. If we all look out for each other, it'll just be such a better environment for everyone.
That's good. So have you spoken to your male friends about this? If so, what are some of their reactions?
I've spoken to a whole bunch of male friends. Some of them are just surprised and sad that we would have to deal with this. Some of them have had experiences of their own. It's obviously unacceptable to go and touch or harass a guy in the same way it is to go and touch or harass a girl.
Right.
And I think that patriarchal culture and misogynistic culture kind of says to guys that they have to be grateful or excited if a girl comes up and a guy or girl comes up and touches them or starts becoming sexual with them in a club. That's part of the culture that kind of dictates that that has to be a good thing for them, which it might not always be. And that's just another way that misogyny gets us all.
And it is important to remember it's not just women that are targeted in these instances.
Definitely not just women. I've had a bunch of guys tell me about instances where they have had girls just come and touch their penis or do something like that in the club, which obviously is just as unacceptable and definitely still is classed as harassment, even though it's probably a lot less likely to happen. And then otherwise, yeah, I've had all positive comments from my guy friends and from most people who've received the message of the campaign.
So where to from here? Where can people find out more about this campaign and how can they help out?
So we have a Facebook page. The Facebook is just Free to Move. Ideally, what my vision is to have a Free to Move sticker in the doorway of every nightclub in Australia, every nightclub and every music event, so that when you know you're in that nightclub, it's a zero tolerance place and you are safe to be there and you can report. So that will be coming along soon. And if anybody wants to contact me with a place that they think they would like to have that sticker up, yeah, we're excited to kind of get that rolling out.
Awesome. So, yeah. Sounds like a great goal. All right, Izzy, good work. And thanks so much for coming on Women on the Line.
Thanks, Amy.
That was Izzy Combs from Stony Road Magazine. And if you want to find out more about this campaign, just hit up Twitter and search the hashtag Free to Move.
Thank you, Amy Middleton and Women on the Line. Leaving Australia, we turn now to the province of Ontario, Canada, where Premier Kathleen Wynne announced an anti-harassment campaign during a Women of Influence Awards ceremony in late 2014. Here are some excerpts from her talk.
As the first woman, lesbian, and grandmother in the Premier's chair, I couldn't ask for a better set of role models for my granddaughters than the women in this room and the women that I am honored to be joining in accepting this award. The influence we have as women, whether it's in a boardroom or a child's bedroom, is not an end in and of itself. We don't seek equality or power or title for the sake of equality or power or title alone. We do it because of the difference that we can make. It's about our relationship to the issues and our approach to overcoming each challenge. Today, I am more than ever hopeful about the future. I think, you know, we've said this before, but I think we're witnessing a change from those older power dynamics to new ones where there is more equality, where there's not just tolerance for those other voices to get through, but a celebration of the benefits that we all share from equality. And this is particularly true in politics, where it's been shown that where 30% of an elected body is female, there's a noticeable and measurable change in the tone and style and content of political decisions. That doesn't mean that women only focus on what have been traditionally called women's issues. What it means is that no one perspective or gender is equipped to fully appreciate the complexity of our world. Earlier this week, we announced new rules to encourage more publicly traded companies to advance women onto boards and into senior and C-suite positions. That's right. Yesterday's success will not do for today. We must press onwards. In boardrooms or long-term care homes, women everywhere need us to influence action, and we are. Every one of you is part of the progress that we're making, and that makes me incredibly proud. I hope it does the same for you. But I'm still outraged by what we haven't done as a society, by the discrimination and the violence that is still part of the world in which we live in and our society. And I am determined to use my influence to make change. The need for action and influence is particularly acute when it comes to the issues surrounding sexual assault and violence against women. Earlier today, I announced that we are taking action on several fronts. Early in the new year, we will launch a public education campaign to challenge myths around sexual violence and its victims and to raise awareness of the support available to victims beyond the criminal justice system. We're holding ourselves to account by improving workplace discrimination, harassment, and violence prevention policies and training at Queen's Park. I have also specifically tasked my ministers with producing an action plan by March 8th, which is International Women's Day, with legislative and other initiatives to improve support for victims of sexual violence. We have to be innovative, we have to be bold and influential, because the rules and procedures and protections that we have right now, as much progress as we have made, are still not enough. Making progress in every decade is not enough when there are still too many people being victimized, and that is men and women both. And too many victims are not comfortable coming forward. The statistics are chilling, and they portray the cold, hard truths that we still face just because we are women. Like the fact that 1 in 3 Canadian women will experience sexual assault in her adult life. And the fact that 67% of Canadians, of all Canadians, say that they personally know at least one woman who's been sexually or physically assaulted. So these statistics mean that many, if not most, of the women in this room have probably experienced some form of sexual harassment or assault. Now, you have succeeded in spite of it, but many women have not. So I need your help. I need your influence. Women everywhere need your influence. There is a real danger in silence. If we do not talk about it or pretend that it's not pervasive or that it's not happening, then we're doing nothing to stop it from happening again and again. And we know that it is happening. We know that it's happening to young professionals, to missing and murdered Indigenous women, and all across society. Recent and outrageous incidents have brought this discussion from the shadows into the spotlight. And this is our opportunity to use our influence. In a shifting landscape, there are some cracks that are opening up, and we need to push through. The power of the moment cannot be ignored, and neither can our power. It comes from those who went before, and it'll be handed to those who follow. We have always been women of influence, but now we have ways of publicly wielding our influence, and we can deliver profound and lasting change because of our positions. We must press on, or the advantage will be lost. So, thank you. Thank you for being here and for being agents of that change.
Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne, speaking at the Women of Influence Awards in late 2014. Wynne's new Ontario anti-violence campaign includes a video. I'll describe the scenes as the sound comes up. Again, this may be triggering. A helplessly drugged or drunken young woman tries to fend off young men who manhandle and video her.
Thanks for keeping your mouth shut.
An anxious employee tries to keep typing as a creepy boss massages her neck.
Thanks for minding your own business.
A teenage male shows others intimate pictures on his cell phone.
Thanks for not telling my girlfriend.
Send that to me.
As a young woman at a bar turns to a friend, a man drops powder in her drink.
Thanks for not telling anyone.
When you do nothing, you're helping him. But when you do something, you help her.
Thanks for telling the bartender.
Thanks for stopping him.
Thanks for telling HR.
Thanks for getting help.
Who will you help? Stop sexual harassment and violence when you see it.
Thanks to Women on the Line and the Ontario Premier's Office for the content on today's Wings show. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our page facebook.com/wingsradio. As we enter our 30th year covering the International Women's Movement, Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, rabble.ca, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the anthology Women and the Gift Economy. The Wing sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.